Hey, everybody. I'm Tim.
And I'm Dean.
And we're the hosts of Talking Back. We're a retro-based podcast covering movies, comics, video games, and more.
Check us out every Monday where we hit the rewind button and dig into some of our favorite content from the past. We like to keep things fun, lighthearted, and informative.
Do you feel like you need more nostalgia in your life? Then check out Talking Back. We're available everywhere podcasts are found.
The Blast from Our Past Network.
Hello and welcome back to Action Action, the action movie podcast that watches all the action movies. We put them on our list and they're there. So we are part of the BFOP network. I don't know if you know that, but you should by now. And you should check out those shows like
Do It.
Like Talking Back and Podcasting After Dark and Return, Revenge, Resurrection?
Hell yeah. Holy. Nailed it. They're just starting the Hannibal Lecter series on their show.
Oh, nice. And is it Comics Underground?
Comics Underground, yeah.
Okay.
It's on there too.
Yeah, yeah. And the rest.
And others.
And others. So you should check out those shows. And I am joined here in Dustin's dining room, living room.
Hybrid
area.
What we call open concept, James.
Oh, sorry. Feng shui. I'm joined by always with Dustin.
That's me.
Here I am. How's it going, Dustin?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, right on. That's cool.
Cool.
So it's been a while since we recorded a movie review.
Yeah,
so,
together, yeah.
Do you have any Sink or Swim?
Oh, you know it.
Out of the 60 movies you've watched.
Well, not quite that much, but I've watched a bunch
36.
Of stuff. First, I'll mention a couple TV items.
Okay.
I watched the most recent AEW pay-per-view this past weekend, yeah. Revolution, including Sting's final match. It was a really good show, actually, all around. Really good matches, like some really, really good matches on the card. Ospreay versus Takeshita was fucking amazing. FTR versus Moxley and Claudio was really good. There were some really great matches. And then the Sting send-off was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
They did this video package beforehand where it's him sitting in a theater alone watching all this old footage of his matches over the years and stuff. And then... you know, he says, it's showtime for the last time, whatever. And then him and Darby were defending the tag titles against the evil Young Bucks. They've had a whole character change lately. I know you haven't been keeping up lately, but they've done this thing now where they're really playing up the fact that they're the EVPs backstage and they like are threatening people's jobs and stuff. And they're wearing these weird suits and they have mustaches and stuff.
Okay. I know I need to get back into it since we're going to be
going.
There's
been some pretty
May.
Fun stuff lately. Yeah. So that was a nice send off for Sting. Really good show overall. And then I watched the Netflix. It's like an anime. Well, it's kind of anime, series Blue Eye Samurai. Have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah, it's a recent thing from this year, I think. Or maybe it was late 2023 that it came out. But yeah, it was pretty enjoyable. Some good voice work. It's a different sort of style of animation. Like it's obviously done with computer, but then they draw some details into the faces and stuff like that.
Okay.
Pretty good story. It's pretty gory. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think the hyperbole on it was a little overboard. People like really praising it a lot, but I did think it was worth watching. So I enjoyed that and I'll probably watch the second season when it comes out. But then let's talk about some films.
All right.
What have I been watching for films? I watched the newest Michael Mann movie, Ferrari, the biopic.
Okay.
About, you know, the man, Ferrari.
Yeah.
Adam Driver plays him with, you know, some gray hair and they've aged him up a bit to be older.
Right.
This is okay. It's It's Michael Mann's best in a long time because he's kind of fallen off a lot, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, I guess. But this was decent, but it's kind of dull for lots of chunks of it. Penelope Cruz is really fucking good in it as his wife, his crazy, kind of crazy wife. But the race scenes are really well done, but there's a lot of just like bullshit between those moments. So right. It's just kind of a bit dry, I thought.
I've been getting lots of clips of Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, that, I think that's a more entertaining movie than this one.
And I think I'm going to have to watch it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. It was not a movie that I felt particularly interested in when it came out, but I saw it for some reason anyway, and I was like, oh, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ferrari, it's all right. I watched Miami Blues, which is a movie I saw way back when with young Alec Baldwin. Yeah,
I mean that cover art alone, amazing, is right? Amazing.
He's like a kind of career criminal guy who gets out of jail in LA and he quickly moves to Florida and just starts doing criminal shit again. He hooks up with Jennifer Jason Leigh. There's a cop played by Fred Ward that's looking for him. He kills Hare Krishna in the airport. Not intentionally, like he like breaks his hand or whatever when the Hare Krishna like touches him.
Oh, okay.
And then the Hare Krishna guy has like a heart attack and dies. And so they're looking for who's the person that attacked this Hare Krishna guy in the airport. Meanwhile, he's doing all kinds of crazy shit. He's robbing gangsters with a water pistol and seems addicted to the rush of doing these crimes or whatever and stuff. So he ends up with a badge and he goes around pretending to be a cop for a large part of the movie and just doing more crimes and stuff. It's a good movie. It's kind of scummy, sweaty Miami movie, but yeah, it's fun. Good performances.
Nice.
Watch this weird sci-fi movie with Ray Liotta called No Escape that I remember from back in the day, but never actually watched. It's like another one of those future prison kind of movies.
Okay, yeah.
He gets sent to the future prison. He fucks with the warden, so the warden sends him out. They have this island, and there's like kind of two different camps of prisoners that live on the island that kind of are at war with each other. He gets put out there. There's like the Mad Max type of bad guys. You can see him talking to one of them right there. And they want him to join them cause he's like resourceful and he fights well and whatever.
Yeah.
He ends up in the other like more peaceful group, which is run by Lance Henriksen. Ernie Hudson's there. There's a lot of Waterworld vibes, even though it's not like they're not in the water. They can't get off this island because if you go out a certain amount of ways, the sensors go off and the helicopters fly in and just shoot the whatever
I thought it was sharks would kill you.
Yeah, they could have done that. It's actually kind of fun. It's like crazy to me that this is a movie that was not a big hit. It was directed by Martin Campbell, who did do some big movies, like he did Casino Royale and Goldeneye, Green Lantern, Mask of Zorro. So he did some big stuff, but it was not a huge movie, and Ray Liotta was like, yeah, everyone thought he was a good actor, but he wasn't like, he's the leading man guy, like hero guy. Right. I thought he actually does a good job in this movie, and I was like, oh, he should have done more action movies. Could have pulled it off, I think. But
like straight to DVD.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it feels like it should be straight to DVD, but obviously they spent a shitload of money on this with the sets. They've built an entire, you know, town on the island that they're living on and all this shit. So there's some big set pieces. It's not an amazing movie, but it's kind of fun. You know, I got a soft spot for the Waterworld, which reminds me, someone messaged me recently to tell me that apparently there's going to be a Waterworld television show. James, aren't you so fucking excited?
I'm not.
James, you can't see him, listeners, but James has closed his eyes as if like, my God. How can they do this?
I think it's just television in general. Like, I'm just... there's so much television.
Yeah.
So much.
It's nonstop. It's like a waterfall just pouring over you.
Like, every time I talk to John, he's like, you got to check this show out. You got to check this show out. And I'm like, no.
No, I will not.
I just don't have time for all this shit. Like, I don't know.
It's nuts. Let me move on to more trashy movies.
Okay.
We'll watch The Devil's Honey, directed by Lucio Fulci, famous Italian director.
I like the art. Looks good.
You like that? Famous Italian director known mostly for his like horror movies and zombie movies and stuff. This one is like a weird psychosexual thriller, kind of. It's this woman. Within the first 5 minutes, there's a scene where a man plays his saxophone on a woman's vagina.
Okay.
I was like, this is new. This is new to me.
I mean, I didn't know I needed to see that.
Yeah. So this woman has this like terrible relationship with her super toxic boyfriend musician. And he ends up dying. And she blames the doctor that was supposed to be helping him for his death. So she abducts him and then sexually tortures him.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fucking weird-ass movie.
Is it torture if he likes it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Good question. That's a question that is asked probably in the film, in the subtext of the film. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about this other than it's really fucking wild and weird. And I guess if the saxophone on a vagina thing sounded appealing to you, you're probably going to want to check it out.
Yeah, what's it called again?
The Devil's Honey.
Devil's Honey.
Watched a couple newer flicks. 2023 movies, but I hadn't got to yet that are like, you know, all the rage. The Zone of Interest. Have you heard of this movie?
No.
Pretty interesting. It's set during World War II. It's about a German soldier and his family. It just follows them in the mundane things of their life. They're living in they're actually in Auschwitz where their nice house is with their garden. And then like the wall is right behind and the barbed wire on top. Uh-oh. And so you can hear the sound in the whole movie, like in the background is people like screaming, people being shot, like being beaten up. There's always like constant noise, tanks rolling. Like that's just like the sound all the time, this kind of shit. But you're just watching them do like their normal, like, the wife is upset because, you know, the certain flowers not growing in the garden properly and the children have to go to school and da-da-da. And it's a pretty interesting movie. Like,
wow.
And so, yeah, all this shit is in the background the entire time. Whole movie. He screams. He'll take a call about, and he's in a meeting about how, these are the new gas chambers we're going to use and this is how they work and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like this boring everyday life stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, well, he's just focused on his family. He doesn't care about what's, you know, like it's this idea of like.
So we needed the point of view from like an everyday 9-to-5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, operator.
Yeah. Yeah. And they go into detail about the ashes and what they're going to do with all this stuff. Interesting movie. It kind of is hammering you over the head with its point, like,
right.
So it doesn't have any ideas beyond that idea. That's what it is for a couple hours. So it is really interesting and unique, but at the same time, and it's horrifying because it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's just treating these details as like background things, which I guess they would have been for some people, depending on what side of that wall you were on, the one inside the prison or the one where you had the nice big house and the nice garden and pool for your children to swim in and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a heavy movie, not a light one to get into. But it is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I then watched Poor Things, the, Yorgos Lanthimos.
Oh yeah. Is it worth watching?
Woman Frankenstein. Oh yeah. I fucking loved this movie.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I might give it a 5 out of 5. 4.5 at least.
Really?
Out of 5. Wow. It's fucking hilarious and bizarre. And Emma Stone is amazing in it. Mark Ruffalo is fucking hilarious as this like cad, this fucking just idiotic man who wants to abduct her. She's basically like if you don't know, she's basically like a female Frankenstein that Willem Dafoe has brought back from the dead using a corpse.
Oh,
and the brain of a baby.
I didn't know anything.
So, so you go from there. She's really stupid at the start and she's like learning stuff as she goes through the movie. I thought it was fantastic. It's so strange, but it's just so hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah, I laughed like multiple times by myself watching it. I was just like, what?
Okay, I'm going to have to add that to the list.
A couple more. I watched Cabin Boy from 1994 with Chris Elliott. Do you remember this movie?
Yeah, I do.
It's so stupid. He's like what he calls a fancy boy. He goes to some fancy school. This wig, he ends up on this wrong boat that he wasn't supposed to be on. The bunch of scummy sailors. One of them is a dummy played by Andy Richter from Conan O'Brien and stuff.
Right.
It's fun. It's so dumb. It's like so stupid, but some of the gags in it are hilarious. Weird props and stuff. And you're like, again, like somebody funded this fucking thing and put a bunch of money into this. This came out in theaters. This would never be made now unless it was a straight to streaming.
Right.
Idiotic thing. Then I watched another phenomenal newer movie, Anatomy of a Fall, which I only heard of recently. I guess I'm behind the times on this. It's a French movie, but it's actually mostly in English. This is about a German woman is married to a French guy. They move back to his hometown. He's renovating this big house that they're living in. They have a son who's partially blind from an accident that took place when he was quite young. Basically, the husband falls out of the top floor window and dies. And then they put the wife on trial for his murder. They think there's enough evidence there to suggest that she killed him.
Right.
And then it's the whole thing is the trial and the relationships and kind of flashbacks. And it's kind of more, it's not really about like, did she do it or not? It's more like about examining like how we decide what's true about things and about people and stuff like that.
Interesting.
So there's like the media angle, they're examining it and she's an author. So they're, you know, they're blowing it up and everything. And it's all this stuff about like, well, how do we know what's true? Like, and in something like a relationship that there's all these different complexities, you could say, oh, well, this person is this and they did this and said this, but that's only like one small part of what goes on in like the whole relationship. So it's more about examining that. And I thought it was really interesting. And like, you know, spoiler, it's not really clear by the end whether or not, she killed him, but it has some really interesting things to say about how we come to conclusions and stuff like that. So I thought his acting is phenomenal. The kid is really fucking good in this, which is something I hardly ever say about a movie. Yeah, interesting fucking movie. Check out Anatomy of a Fall, people.
Okay.
And I guess last movie I'll mention is this really shitty, low-budget sci-fi movie called Crime Zone that has, like, the best poster you've ever seen in your life.
That poster is amazing.
This has David Carradine. Sherilyn Fenn is in this. Yeah, it's one of those Roger Corman-produced, low-budget sci-fi, dystopian future. There's, like, this different tiers of society and the scummy people live in one area and they're kept down by the cops and all this kind of stuff.
So like modern day.
Yeah. Yeah. A little more overt, I guess, in this movie. I can't say I loved this. Unfortunately, there is some fun stuff in it and some fun sets and all that. And a couple of action sequences that aren't too bad. The plot is just so dumb and it tries to do like these twists and stuff, but you're like, I don't care.
Right. Like, it tries to be too smart.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look at it. We got you with this twist. And it's like, yeah, but if I don't care, then did you get me?
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. Not a great one. It's on Tubi for people who want to check it out. If you're in the mood for that kind of a flick, but yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Awesome. Well, I've been watching, I feel like a lot of stuff, but I haven't been logging it for some reason and I have forgotten a lot of them. So
they couldn't have been that great.
So I'm just going to go back on, a few things that I've watched. So I watched, the Minions movie, The Rise of Gru.
Oh yeah. Is that the newest one?
It's from 2 years ago.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I can't keep track.
It was enjoyable and my kids enjoyed it quite a bit. I mean, everyone loves the Minions.
Yeah, those are usually pretty fun.
They're usually pretty fun. So, thumbs up.
Nice. Swim. Seek.
Yeah, seek. Seek that bitch out. And then I watched Please Don't Destroy the Treasure of Foggy Mountain. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, like, do you know anything about it?
I don't. That doesn't sound familiar to me.
Oh, okay. So this is the guys from SNL. So it's these three writers.
Yeah.
And they've been doing kind of what, like, the Lonely Island guys were doing.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So they have their own segment on SNL where they do, like...
Okay, it's like this is newer stuff on SNL.
Yeah. So they made a movie, and... I didn't know if I was going to watch it. I was kind of like, I don't know. John watched it and he said like it was really good. So I checked it out and I definitely laughed out loud a few times. Like it's quite funny.
Yeah. What's the premise?
So it's basically like three friends. They're like losers. They're like, you know, in their mid-20s. But they still act like they're, you know, high school kids. And they're just fuck-ups and failures, right? And they're kind of drifting apart because, like, is going to get married. He converts to Catholic, I think, and he gets baptized at one scene. Anyways, so the one friend that it's like, man, like everyone's drifting apart. And then they hatch this whole, like he remembers they found this compass when they were kids. And then they talk about, oh yeah, you remember that like story about the treasure of Foggy Mountain? And like, oh, that's not real. And it turns out it's real. So they're trying to find it. And then they come across like a cult and
it sounds like it could be pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, John compared it to like, the kind of movie that like when Hot Rod came out.
Okay. That's what I was actually thinking of when you were describing this.
Yeah. So it's like that same kind of feeling.
Okay.
But for like almost.
So they're kind of following the blueprint.
Then. Yeah. But it's almost like this generation's, right. You know, kind of thing. So, yeah, it was quite entertaining. So
nice.
And Conan O'Brien plays the one guy's dad.
Oh yeah. Oh, so you did a movie that had Conan O'Brien, and I did a movie that had Andy Richter.
So I would definitely say you should seek that out. I watched Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Man's Chest.
Which one is that?
Okay,
the second one. That's the one where they introduced
Davy Jones Locker. Yeah. It was kind of wearing a little thin for me, kind of like, one, it's too long, and I hate Johnny Depp's co-stars. So it was a little bit much, until I watched the third one.
Holy shit.
Which is Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, which is the first part of a two-part movie, because there's another one.
Right, yeah.
And I fucking hate that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen that one. I think I stopped after two because I thought, you know, I remember really enjoying one when I saw it, when it came out.
Like, I fucking despise that movie.
And then two, I was like, meh. And so I don't think
I watched. Oh, no, you gave it 1.5 stars.
Oh, shit. I've seen that movie?
Yep.
Man, I don't remember it.
It's so cheesy. Like, I just, the fucking.
Is there four or five?
I don't know.
They're making a new one. Maybe that one's going to be five. I don't know.
But the like storyline between Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom, and like the way that they go back and forth, it makes me want to throw up.
Like, is it like a will they, won't they thing?
It's like this. Oh, there's such tension, and they're like, oh, if they just knew that they really loved the other one, but they had to do this thing. And it's like, I don't fucking care already.
More depth, please.
Like, it's so bad.
I remember, is it Jeffrey Rush that plays the Davy Jones squid man? I can't remember now for sure. But I remember thinking that he was at least kind of cool in that second movie. Like the effects were pretty decent for
Bill
the time.
Nye.
Oh, it's Bill Nye. Yeah. Bill Nye. Yeah.
Nye?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like, not Bill Nye the Science Guy.
No. The effects are cool and stuff. And there's some stuff that's like, oh, okay, like I see it as it's a kid's movie, right? Yeah, so for a kid's movie,
right.
You know what? It's okay.
It's fine, yeah.
But like, you're asking these kids to sit through this shit.
For 2.5 hours or whatever.
Like, give me a fucking break. and then I'm going to say I watched last year's Thanksgiving.
Oh, you did?
And man, I fucking love that movie.
Wasn't it fun?
It's so much fun. Like, so much fun.
Yeah, I had a great time with that.
I love everything about it. And like, it's super modern too, which is nice.
It is. It's funny. It's like one of those things where it's like, okay, it's a throwback slasher in a sense, but it's up to date without feeling like, oh, look how like, you know, how, I don't know, like sometimes it feels very forced when you try to make it super modern.
Yeah. Which it's not at all. There was, I didn't feel there was anything that was like forced or like too tropey or anything. It like
threaded a needle.
It threaded that needle and it hit all those little sweet spots.
Good kills.
Amazing kills. Some of them.
The trampoline.
And just like how disgusting some of the stuff is. And like, where, I mean,
the turkey roasting.
At the end, the turkey roasting. Oh my God. That was like perfection. Like, what kind of psychotic individual? Like, that's, it was quite entertaining.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
I look forward to Thanksgiving 2.
Definitely. Eli, you've redeemed yourself.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that, and I definitely recommend people check that out. And that's about it, or at least that's all I can remember.
All right.
So why don't we get to this week's movie?
What is it again?
1995's Rumble in the Bronx. Let's hear a trailer.
To millions of fans around the world, he's a living legend. If you've never seen him before,
it's him! Give me that gun!
You've never seen action.
We got hostages! There ain't a hovercraft! Call out the Coast Guard!
New Line Cinema presents the action hero who does all his own stunts. Jackie Chan.
Are you okay?
No.
Rumble in the Bronx.
All right, so Jackie Chan's Rumble in the Bronx, a young man visiting and helping his uncle in New York City, finds himself forced to fight a street gang and the mob with his martial arts skills.
Yes, he does.
All right, Dustin, what is your history with this movie?
Oh, shit. Well, I saw this in the theater when it came out.
Nice.
I remember, I didn't know... I think, you know, I'd heard of Jackie Chan, but I didn't really know him, hadn't really seen his movies because we weren't really exposed to them at that point over here.
Right.
I think you could probably find a couple of them if you went hunting in the video store, but you'd have to know what you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Rumble in the Bronx was really my first big exposure to Jackie Chan, as it was for a lot of people over here in North America. And, I remember having a great time with this movie. And I'm pretty sure I owned it on VHS after. And
right.
And then it started the whole wave of his movies kind of coming over here and stuff. And then also him being in making movies here.
I mean, he was the shit.
Definitely.
For quite a while there, that 95 to, I don't know, 2001, let's say.
Sure, something like that.
Something like
early
that.
Early 2000s, yeah.
Sounds kind of accurate.
Accurate enough for our purposes.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it in theaters, but this was one that we rented over and over and over again. Never owned it. It was just one of those ones. Yep. My family was weird. We didn't own movies unless they were Disney movies for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But we rented like this kind of movie all the time. And I fucking loved this movie. Like,
well, it was a you know, he came along and he was a good answer for a lot of people who was like, okay, we have boys in the family who want to watch action movies. We don't really want to show them like fucking Terminator 2 or something at their age. This has lots of action without being, you know, gross or gory. It's got humor, like the whole family can enjoy it. And so, yeah, it was a big deal.
It's like the proper evolution from like Ninja Turtles to this.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And then, you know, you get on to more violent things.
Right.
but like, so I said to my kids, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to watch this movie this week. Like, I really think you guys would enjoy it. And usually they're like, fuck you, Dad. Suck a dick. And I'm like, hey, you can't talk to me like that. And then, you know, their mother comes in the room and says, yeah, why don't you fuck this fat cock? And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Are you having a weird dream? Are you having a stroke?
I don't know. Like, kids these days. Anyways, besides that, they watched it and they were super into it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's great.
They were super into it. And their introduction to Jackie Chan was actually Around the World in 80 Days.
Right.
Right? Because I watched it not that long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And my oldest is like, oh, is this the kung fu guy? And I'm like, hell yeah, it is.
It sure is.
And I don't know. It was like one of those things where I was like so, one, happy to watch the movie, but also like so happy that they enjoyed it so much. Yeah. And yeah, it just made me feel good. And so, you know, at least I can, you know, pass that down.
No, that's awesome. It's so nice to hear that they would enjoy it. And of course, yeah, I think obviously people from any generation could enjoy this, but there's no guarantee that they would, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
That's fun.
Well, it's like one of those things where like if you force someone to watch it, they're going to
they get their back up and it's like,
yeah. Yeah. So, So growing up, watched all the time, Rumble in the Bronx. I mean, John might say something different, but I'm pretty sure this was our introduction. He might say I saw, you know, Police Story or whatever.
No, he didn't.
And it's like, no, you didn't.
If I didn't, he definitely didn't.
But yeah, fucking love this movie. My introduction to like the end credits where he like is going through all the stunts, which I fucking loved.
Right, which of course then we would see almost in all his movies, but
I don't know why they don't do that. But that was new to us.
I know. It's well, for one thing, they don't all do their own fucking stunts, right?
I know, but come on.
But that's just so fun to watch. Yeah, and of course, you know, this one he breaks his ankle jumping onto that hovercraft and stuff like that. And then he wears that cast underneath his sock.
Yeah,
and
that shoe
for the rest of the movie.
Oh man, so good.
Yeah, it was really fun to revisit this. I think it's been probably at least 10 years since I watched it, if not longer. It's not my favorite Jackie Chan movie, but it's a fun fucking movie.
It's a fun fucking movie.
There's no way to watch this and not have fun, I don't think.
I mean, so like let's get into the plot a little bit. I mean, it's kind of like most Jackie Chan movies where it's like there's enough of a plot there to see
to carry
him
you on. Yeah.
Fight some people.
Yeah.
Right. I do like the fact that there's this gang. It kind of gets a little muddy when all of a sudden there's like a mob involved.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a weird choice, but
it gets a little more convoluted at that point. It's funny, yeah. Okay, so when he's just dealing with the gang at the beginning, like he comes over, I guess there's like 15 minutes or so cut from the Hong Kong version for the North American release, which explained that he's a cop back in Hong Kong, and you know, so that's why he can do all this shit.
Oh, well, like,
we don't need to know that. He's Chinese. Of course he can do this stuff.
I mean, that's why it's smart when he, like, first gets into
his uncle's... Yeah, and he practices on the... Yeah. So we see, like, oh, okay, this guy knows martial arts.
Even his uncle's like, oh, you're still, like...
Still keeping up.
Still keeping up.
Yeah. there's some fun, you know, as always with Jackie Chan, there's some fun comedy stuff. He meets his new to be aunt. That was a funny scene.
Right. Yeah.
this black lady, then he wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
That's fun. And, you know, the mirror scene in the supermarket. Anita Mui is in this movie. She comes to buy the supermarket. We've seen her before in, what the hell was she in that we did on the show before? Oh, Drunken Master 2, also with Jackie Chan.
Right.
She's like the mom, I think, in that. But she gets a lot more to do in that movie than in this one. This one, she's kind of just around for some comedy beats and stuff.
Yeah.
But when he starts dealing with the gang, because they trash her store and stuff that she buys from the uncle, the gang feels totally like, it's like, okay, this is Jackie Chan versus the Warriors kind of thing.
Right, totally.
Which is pretty fun, I think. They're maybe not all the most convincing gang members and stuff.
No.
But all that stuff is so easily forgiven in this when you're watching a Jackie Chan movie.
I mean, okay, I know I'm fast forwarding, but like, I fucking love Angelo.
Like, the leader guy?
No. Angelo's the guy that gets his nose broken.
Oh, he's the one who steals the diamonds.
Because later, he's trying to like follow them, and he's dressed up like a cyclist.
Yeah.
I mean, I just find it so like insane and ridiculous.
Well, that's kind of another thing that's fun about this movie is like, it brings the same goofy energy that Jackie Chan movies made in Hong Kong had.
Right.
But it like, not all the actors are like Hong Kong actors, and even though it is a Hong Kong production, it's being filmed in Vancouver. It's supposed to be New York. So it's applying that same kind of humor and energy, but it's on top of like some actors that you wouldn't necessarily normally see doing this kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's just, and in a market that you don't necessarily see this kind of humor at that time. So it has its own offbeat kind of funny vibe to the whole thing. That
yeah.
Makes it extra fun, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
There's like, you know, the weird 90s outfits, but then they're like, the movie take on that, and like the gang people have like weird bright colors and just like stupid outfits that they wear and stuff. I think the motorcycle race is really fun on top of the cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jackie's got his weird underwear singlet on that he goes down to stop them from riding over his uncle's car. Yeah, I don't know. There's just so much fun shit. But then there's like parts where it gets kind of weirdly serious for moments. When the gang, like, they corner him in that alley and they're like throwing the glass bottles at him and yeah. like smashing him with the bottles and hitting them with bats and stuff. And it gets like, oh shit, like this is kind of fucked up. Like he's getting all smashed up with the glass and it's going in his face. And
well, you got to have an inn where Nancy, you know, nurses him back to health.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's like,
She's part of the gang.
And then, you know, she has her brother, which Jackie's already like befriended.
Right.
So.
In the building. He was in a wheelchair and stuff. And so, yeah, you get all those classic sort of, yeah, she's now like, oh, maybe I was being too shitty and was on the wrong team and all this kind of stuff. And she falls for him because he's nice to her brother and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get like, I know we're like going through it really quick, but like, then you get this weird deal that's going down that goes bad.
I thought you'd get really excited because there was like Jamaican guys doing a drug deal.
But they're not in it very long.
They're like
long.
In it for like a minute. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I honestly was watching it. I'm like, I don't really remember this.
I didn't either. Yeah.
And then I found out why. But yeah, I mean, there's this deal gone bad. And of course, all these guys in suits have to drive limos, yeah. I guess.
The guys in the suits are funny, too. They're like so, like, they're very Eurotrash looking.
Very Eurotrash.
They've got like the super square shoulders in the suits and like the haircuts and everything. I don't know. It's just funny to look at. But yeah, and so that's that whole other element that comes in. And I guess, are they mobsters, I guess, is what they are? I mean, they're not like mafia.
They're not mafia. I don't know what they are.
They work for this shadowy bad guy who, wants his diamonds back and will go to a lot of lengths to get them.
But also, like, okay, forget the diamonds. It's not worth it anymore, he says at one point.
Yeah, finally at one point.
Even though they're, like, trying to get information out of people that they put a guy through a wood chipper.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, it gets again, pretty fucked again, up.
Yeah, there's some fucked up stuff, which is funny because most of the tone of the movie is so, you know, goofy and light. But I don't know. You know, you're here for the Jackie Chan stunts and totally. Kung Fu, and there's plenty of that. The rooftop fight that he has with the gang, where there's like the old broken pieces of like of jungle gym that he's like
right.
using. He rolls under and then like
oh yeah,
kicking guys out from under it, and then
where the one woman pretends to get raped, and then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he like drop kicks a dude and he like falls on to the top of those bars and stuff. And it's like, oh, man, just looks so great. His whole, you know, just Jackie Chan doing Jackie Chan shit.
Oh, totally.
Going up the fence and he's like, you know, grabbing it and like fucking Spider-Man and spinning himself around.
Yeah, it's like parkour.
Yeah, it's hardcore parkour before anyone knew what that was.
Yeah. When the scene comes up, where they go to the gang's hangout.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great scene.
I literally said to my kids, okay, this is the best part coming up. Okay, pay attention. And they were already watching.
Really
but
watch.
But it's like, hey, it's the best part. And so they go in and they start talking. And then my daughter's like, this is the best part? Like, I'm like, oh, just wait. And then they hop up on the pool table and then it's fucking on.
Yeah.
And I love all this because he's like, it's that classic Jackie Chan where he's like going like through a shopping cart and like just
behind the pinball machine.
Yeah, just missing his head as the pinball machine gets pushed back. He's using
not missing it, and you watch the
oh yeah.
The outtakes. The outtakes.
He's like using the fridge to like deflect punches and kicks, like
pool table, the ski and everything.
Yeah, the ski. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Through the chain link fence.
Great stuff. Like and you know, so much of that is so hard to describe, like all that physicality. He's moving so fast. He's doing so much stuff within seconds, but your eye can follow it and just be amazed, you know.
Totally.
Every time, even if you've seen this movie, you know, 20 times, like it's crazy. It's great when you watch him do this stuff. It's just never gets old, really. Jackie Chan.
No, it doesn't.
And that's why, you know, like every once in a while we just check in and do a Jackie Chan movie and it's always like, yeah, fuck yeah. Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the plot stuff is mostly, you know, it's either very basic, cheesy,
shoestring,
sappy, but the comedic parts of it, I think, work pretty well. I wish we actually had the uncle and his wife in it more, because they kind of just take off at the beginning to go on vacation.
And that's the thing, like, I love, like, Hong Kong movies, because they usually have, like, an uncle character.
Yeah, well, that guy, Uncle Bill, Bill Tung, I think he plays basically the same uncle in lots of movies with Jackie Chan, even though Jackie Chan isn't supposed to be the same guy, necessarily.
Right.
Like, he's in the Police Story movies, and, like, he's in First Strike and all these other Project A Part 2 and stuff. So he, like, Drunken Master he's in too. Like, he just shows up all the time. And I think he's played Uncle Bill more than once in those movies.
Right. Yeah, and then you get to I mean, the funny thing at the end of that fight scene at the gang headquarters, where Jackie Chan is like, you know, I don't want to fight. I want to have tea with you.
Yeah.
And then Tony, the leader, he's like,
what'd you say?
Is he serious? Is he serious about what he said? And it's just kind of like
a very quick face turn.
Yeah. All of a sudden now he's like, yeah, we're buddy. I want to do the right thing now.
Yeah. After he beats him up, he earns his respect, I guess.
And I guess.
Like, he's just like, you know. He says, don't you guys understand that you're the scum of society? It's like, oh, shit. That's heavy, man. Yeah, that's funny. And I mean, of course, we already had the girlfriend had switched sides to be with Jackie and stuff.
Yeah.
She's actually a Canadian actress, Françoise Yip. She's in tons of stuff too. I was looking her up and I was like, oh wow, she's been in, after like she was in this movie, she was in Blade 3 and Alien versus Predator, one of those.
Oh, okay.
Romeo Must Die and Black Mask with Jet Li.
Oh, nice.
And so I was reading about her too, about her casting. She, like, they were like, oh, we need someone who can speak Chinese, who can ride a motorcycle, who can do some martial arts stuff. And she's like, oh, I can't do any of those things. And then her agent was like, don't even go to the audition because you can't do those things. And she was like, I'm just gonna go. And then she went to the audition, they're like, yeah, okay, you're in the movie. But she didn't know how to do any of the stuff, so she had to like learn a bit of all the stuff. But that was kind of her break, so worked out for her.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, she's enjoyable. I think the funny thing in this movie, and I think probably a lot of people will still have a problem with when they watch this, is the dubbing. Because not only are the Chinese characters dubbed, it feels like everyone is dubbed.
Everyone
right?
is dubbed.
Even the people who are speaking English are fucking dubbed.
Yeah.
Which it just, it can throw you off and you'll be like, what? Why?
Honestly, I mean,
You get into it,
but it actually doesn't throw me off. It's this thing that, because I watched it when I was a kid and it was so weird to me, it's just, it's like,
it's just part of the movie.
It's just part of the charm of this movie. And it's not like, oh, hey, it's kind of a funny thing to say, because it's not like, oh, yeah, like if I was making a movie today, we should do that because it'll bring some extra thing. No, it's just like, this is just what it was.
It just worked for this, for what it is. Yeah. I mean, I have the same thing with a lot of Italian movies where it's like the bad dubbing is part of the charm of watching the movie. But yeah, I think for probably when this came out here, it was North American release and we go see it. I think I remember even then as a teenager being like, what's with the fucking, you know, cheesy dubbing kind of thing. Cause at that time, we weren't exposed to a lot of real Kung Fu movies and Hong Kong movies. And so, that was a pretty fresh thing for us and was like, I don't know how to take that. It felt cheesy, especially in like fucking edgelord 90s, you know, where it's like, everyone's trying to be gritty and hard and cool. And Jackie's like, hey, man, we're just here to have a good time. Like,
I know, but like, it's so smart in a way because it's like, it's appealing to like dumb North Americans like me, because I would not, like, up until like, you know, in my 20s, I'm like, I'm not going to watch that movie because it has subtitles.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And that's a lot of people have that attitude. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it took a long time for me to get over that. Like, I don't know why, but I think if it was subtitled, I mean, I wouldn't have watched it I wouldn't have appreciated it.
You know, when I was younger, I didn't want to watch black and white movies because I was like, oh, that's
fucking lame.
So old. Grandpa movies.
Oh, man. Don't talk to my kids about old movies.
Yeah, right.
What is that? The flat cartoon flat movies?
Oh, man.
You shut the fuck up.
But everybody's got that thing, and, you know,
yeah.
Hopefully eventually you get over it and you're like, oh, okay, I've been just actually like denying myself a lot of stuff, right?
Right.
But yeah, at that time, I think it was kind of like maybe a thing that would have put some people off. But yeah, you got to be able to have fun with this. If you can't watch this and just like get into it, get into these stunts, man, when he runs across that roof and jumps over the whole alley down to that balcony, which he did on his first take, apparently. And here's the thing, the guy that directed this, Stanley Tong, he did a bunch of stunt work and whatever before. And he directed a bunch of movies, a bunch of Jackie Chan movies. And, he apparently had a thing where he wouldn't ask his actors to do a stunt unless he did it himself first.
Oh, okay.
So he figured out where you'd need to jump from. He did it with like in a harness or whatever. And he's right. Like, oh, okay, but it's not going to actually be safe in a harness. It's going to be more safe if Jackie just does it like freestyle. Right. And then, so they marked on the roof, like, this is where you have to jump when you're running in order to like properly hit that arc and fly across and down and land on it. You think that would be the part where he broke his fucking ankle and not the part where he jumps onto the hovercraft? But, no, yeah, he did it first take. They had like four different cameras on him, Bam.
Yeah.
Jackie hits it perfectly, of course.
I mean, it's reminiscent of the Bourne Identity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. They got that scene in that. It's in one of those Bournes, anyway.
Yeah, it's in one of the Bourne movies.
Yeah, I remember. They ripped it off straight off of Jackie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cool thing to see.
It is a cool thing to see.
The car park, like that whole garage sequence is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Tons of fun stuff. He's passing through the levels, like from one part of the garage to the other. And
yeah, totally.
The staircase and the doors and the cars and all that stuff. Gotta love it.
Yeah. And, and then you get on the roof and there's a truck with bouncy balls.
Yeah, full of bouncy balls.
I've never seen that truck in my life. Now, this kind of truck would work in Hong Kong.
Yeah, exactly.
We would be like, oh, this is normal Hong Kong.
We just take it for granted. Like, okay, whatever. Right? Yeah, sure.
But like, you know what? I guess we would take it.
Maybe in New York. Who knows what those fucking wackos are doing over there?
I don't know. Like somewhere in America, it's like, yeah, America's crazy.
Yeah,
you could see it.
There's all kinds of crazy shit going on in New York.
Like, I'm here to.
It's a guy with a bunch of bouncy balls in a truck with no top.
No, he just goes like store to store. I'm here to
refill your bouncy
ball.
He's at Toys R Us. I mean, you're out of bouncy balls? Okay.
Well, I mean,
lucky for you, I got a truck full of them outside.
I always wondered how they refilled those.
But he's in the truck and they like push it off the roof.
The
parkade. I was trying to figure out where that parking garage was, but I couldn't figure it out. It looks, at first I was like, oh, is that a side of the P&E Coliseum? But then I was like, no, it's not that. Not sure. But that was kind of fun too, is watching it. It's in Vancouver in the 90s and you're looking for certain landmarks. The scene with the hovercraft.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably got to be waterfront or something. That's pretty recognizable.
There was some scenes where I'm like, oh, there's mountains.
Yeah, mountains in the background of New York City.
I'm pretty sure there's not mountains there. But.
But who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, actually, I was reading, I think Ebert had reviewed it and was like, yeah, you might notice that there are mountains in the background of this scene, but, well, you just got to let it go kind of thing.
I mean, this is Jackie Chan's New York City.
Yeah.
Right? The Bronx.
That was another thing, I guess, was Jackie said that it was a difficult shoot, too, because, you know, they'd put up all this graffiti all over everything to make it look more like New York, and then they'd have to, like, wash it all off after they were done every day and then put it back up and stuff.
Right.
But we do get that whole sequence where that entire building comes down where, you know, the big bad guy blows it up to show them that he's serious once... He finds out Jackie has the diamonds and stuff.
He uses a tow truck to, like, pull all the posts out.
Yeah, yeah. And then Anita Mui is on the can. Kind of a Lethal Weapon 2 moment, I guess.
Totally.
The whole building comes down. Miraculously, no one was killed.
Yeah.
What was kind of funny was that building, it's like a corner building. It's the grocery store market that they're running. But then there's, like, these huge billboards for, like, sex shows or strippers or something on them or whatever. I guess that was part of the like dressing to make it feel like scummy New York or something.
Yeah, it was just some shithole. It's supposed to be, because at the beginning he's like, oh, like you know, you live over here, your store is here, and it's like, no, it's in like the rough end of town.
Yeah, because there's, of course, all the, you know, exterior shots when they, you know, of New York City, like he's being driven across the bridge and stuff into the city. And there's a couple of shots of the Bronx area before we actually like settle into the Vancouver-ness of the whole thing. You got to set those up.
Oh, yeah.
Get the reality. But yeah.
But the hovercraft.
Yeah.
Why do they feel they needed a hovercraft in this movie?
Because it's fun. I don't know.
I mean, the comedy of like, of course, you're just going to run over
right
people with the hovercraft.
Kind of squish them sort of into the ground.
And the like the chef's kiss of running over the bad guy at the end, and it just like takes all his clothes off.
His golf clothes.
Perfect.
Love it. But yeah, the hovercraft stuff is a lot of fun with him getting pulled, like he's trying to water ski with no skis. When watching the outtakes of that is pretty fun too. And
yeah.
The shit that he has to, he is, what a fucking crazy dude.
Yeah, totally.
To get pulled like that, where he's spinning and just clipping the water. And
I guess like, so like, here's the thing. Do you think we will ever see somebody like that? Cause we have guys like Tom Cruise and Keanu Reeves that train and do all these things.
Yeah, they'll do like real stunts, real judo and stuff. I mean, Cruise does some pretty crazy stunts.
He does.
I mean, he won't be doing it for much longer, I'm sure. But
like, I'm talking about like this. This is like a it feels low budget, right? It feels like a small movie.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, I think I read it was a $13 million budget, something like that. $16 million.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty small, even for then.
But it's just like, you know, I don't know. Like, I've seen guys on like YouTube that can do stuff like what Jackie Chan does, like the physical comedy, the like running into things, flipping over stuff.
Right, right.
And so it's like, okay, like I see that and I think of Jackie Chan and the comedy that can go with that kind of like act or falling down or fighting. But it's like you don't see that, and I don't know. Would we see that again? Like,
I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I guess it depends on a bunch of things, right? Like, somebody has to decide that audiences want that again. You have to have the right person who, like, you gotta, like, somebody as charming as Jackie Chan, right? Like,
well, that's the thing.
Who can pull off not only the martial arts, not only the stunts, but the charm of, like, drawing an audience in and being like, I like this guy. Like, I want to watch him, you know? You gotta find, it's a special person, I feel like, right? And then you gotta have a studio that's like, oh yeah, well, it's going to be too much insurance to fucking, you know, to have a guy that falls on his head from, I mean, not that a studio wouldn't do it, but right. I think it would just have to, the right things would all have to work together at the same time for it to happen. I don't think it's impossible that we'd see somebody in that vein again.
I honestly feel like if someone was to do that, more of a low budget Jackie Chan style, I mean, yeah, it would take a while to find the right person, but I don't know. I think that movie would be a fucking hit.
Yeah. And it's funny too, when you like look at like what's missing right now, right? In the movies, or, you know, what kind of experience are people not getting? Yeah, maybe they come back around to that kind of thing. And I was like, hey, remember, fucking people love this stuff. It's been a long time. Let's do one of these and see what happens. Of course, the problem is if it's a hit, then they try to do like 45 of them right, the next year.
I understand that. But like, yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, look, like we had the John Wick thing. And so we've seen a bunch of action movies imitate that, you know. So there'll be something that will come along. It'd be cool to see, you know, some kind of amalgamation of those sort of things. Like, make it more serious like John Wick, but have a guy that you introduce, like, some light moments. A guy that can actually do... Because, yes, it's impressive that Keanu learned how to do judo and jiu-jitsu and whatever. But, like...
Yeah.
That's not the same as, you know, scaling a fence by jumping off the wall to the fence to the wall and flipping over. You know, like... It's so impressive to watch Jackie Chan do that stuff.
That's why I'm gonna petition for the next Bond movie to be like Jackie Chan movie.
Good luck.
That'd be fun.
It would be, but good luck, man.
I know. It will never happen.
But everything moves in waves, right? Like so, like they did James Bond for so fucking long, and then they were like, you know what? It's kind of cheesy. And then the Bourne movies came out. They're like, oh, we'll just do Bond like in the style of Bourne and change it up like to that, because that's what people want now. It's just, you know, the taste change. And they change more rapidly now, I think, than they used to, because like we said, there was like how many fucking Bond movies before they changed the formula? yeah, I don't know. We just got to wait until somebody emerges that is that talent, that special talent. And again, and studios are willing again to do different things, right?
Yeah, it's true. And studios are not really interested in doing like new.
Well, they're interested in whatever will make them money, but there's got to be somebody that's like, I'm going to take the chance on this right now. And I think this is going to pay off.
Right.
Let's do this. And then, you know, you get a big smash hit that you weren't expecting or that no one else would have done. Right. But
yeah, like an A24 movie.
Yeah, like, no, sure.
They would probably do it.
But. Yeah. I mean, they haven't been known for doing action films, but I hear they're looking to broaden out what the kind of movies they make. So I'll be interested to see what A24 starts doing in the near future. Like, they've kind of been doing like the lo-fi horror and some indie drama stuff, which is
smart because
it's cheap.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
Right.
You can get a good return.
Yeah.
But now that they have a certain level of success, it'd be interesting if they experiment with some other genres a little bit more that you have to put a little bit more money in to get that awesome. Like, you know, if you're doing an action film, it's got to be a little bigger, right? So,
yeah, I don't know if it really needs to be
a little bit bigger than an A24 horror film.
Yeah, like I get a little bit bigger, but like, I mean, yeah, okay, Rumble in the Bronx, like he does kind of go all out with some of his stunts. Like, you probably didn't need the hovercraft, you know.
It's pretty fun, though.
It's fun.
Through traffic.
It's fun.
He's got the sword to slash the side of it.
I mean, that's true. It's funny when they're driving the hovercraft on the street, and it's like, obviously, it's a vehicle on wheels that they made it look like.
It's like a float.
Yeah, it's like a float because it's got like the, it's even got the the like curtain around it you know.
And then they let Jackie drive it to the golf course at the end of the movie. So ridiculous.
It's so weird.
It's a fun movie. It really was enjoyable to watch it again. You know, like there's other Jackie Chan movies that I like more than this one. But man, like, you're just going to have a good time if you watch this. You can say that about almost any Jackie Chan period movie within a certain time period, basically from the 70s into 2000. Like, you're probably going to have a fucking pretty good time with almost any movie he put out. That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
Where you can be like, hey, yeah, Jackie Chan, I've never seen that one. Let's throw it on. It's probably going to be great.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, for my kids, like, a great introduction into this world. And
And so now you can, you know, week or two, whatever, you could throw on another one.
I'm probably going to go into like Rush Hour.
Rush Hour is a good way to go.
Yeah.
May I suggest Super Cop? That one is super, super fun. Super Cop is super fun.
It's
Police Story 3, but that one's the one with Michelle Yeoh teams up with him.
Right.
And it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we got any more to say about it? Or
I mean, I don't know. Like, the bad guy is not a guy where you're going to have a one-on-one fight. It's this old rich guy. It would have been kind of fun. White Tiger.
Or White Tiger.
Yeah, that's his code name. Would have been a little more, I think, fun to have him, like, have a big showdown fight with maybe that main bad guy with the suit, something like that,
right?
Guy, or yeah, know, just to have that kind of final battle moment, sort of thing. I mean, you get the huge sequence on the hovercraft, but
I mean, you get kind of that in the apartment where he punches
that other
him
guy with the ponytail,
and then the kid keeps throwing him,
him different things to hit him with. The wrench is the last one, yeah.
And then he's like, no.
So dumb.
It's so dumb.
It's great.
Anyways, well, should we get to the ratings then?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Dustin, what's your ratings?
All right, well, plot, I gave a 5. The plot is not particularly great in this, but it, like you said, it does what it needs to do in order for us to get to all the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Action, I got it an 8. Pacing, I also have it an 8. Moves pretty quick. There isn't too much downtime or boring stuff. Quotes and tropes I had at a 6, and reaction is a 7 for me. So then my overall score is a 6.8.
Nice. Yeah. Let's see. Plot, I got 5. Action, 8. Pacing, 8. Quotes and tropes, 6. Overall, 9.
Ooh, yeah, this is a classic for you.
It's a classic, so nostalgia comes into it. Fair enough. And it's a gateway to action.
Yeah.
It's one of those gateway movies, which would be cool to do a segment just on, like, what's a gateway action
blood
movie?
Bloodsport for me.
Bloodsport, yeah.
Rumble in the Bronx for you, yeah.
Rumble in the Bronx. So
definitely.
Overall score of 7. So let's see where that ends up. So
7's a good solid.
7. So at 65, we got The Bourne Identity,
yeah,
Ronin, and Dog Soldiers.
Oh, all really good movies. Hmm. Well, I'll let you go first on this one. Yeah.
To me, it goes ahead of all of them.
Yeah, it's a special movie.
It's just a special movie for me.
I would, like, personally, I'd probably put it, what was it, Bourne Identity?
Ronin.
Dog Soldiers. I'd probably behind Bourne Identity ahead of Ronin. So
okay,
whatever, but that's fine. We can put it ahead of Bourne Identity.
Okay, so new number 65.
Nice.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, it's a classic Chan. And I think a lot of people probably have a similar feeling to you, because I think for a lot of people this was their introduction to Jackie Chan. It was mine too.
Yeah.
But they started hitting us with these movies. Like, a lot of them came out in theater quickly because they were already, you know, shot in Hong Kong. These movies existed, a lot of them. And plus we started getting stuff on VHS, like straight to video, that we didn't have before. You know, we started seeing Jet Li movies come over here too and stuff like that. So suddenly we had a new martial arts kind of explosion, because you had that big kung fu scene in the 70s into maybe the early 80s that had gone away. And Jackie was definitely hugely responsible for bringing that back.
I think the thing I love about, like, when kung fu comes into it is just, like, no explanation of why people know kung fu.
Well, they had it in the Hong Kong version.
I know, but I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't question it. I don't remember questioning it when I saw this movie. Like, what? Why does he know kung fu? Yeah.
I know, but, like, in the 80s, like, those straight-to-video, like Cynthia Rothrock movies.
Right.
What's that one that we did?
Martial Law?
Martial Law. Like those style where it's just like, why the fuck does everyone know kung fu?
Everyone knows some kind
of
martial
art. Or, like, a Van Damme movie, you know? Right. Like, yeah. Anyways. All right, well, thanks for listening. You can see her.
Are we going to play the game?
Oh, sure.
For next week's purposes. I got a little game here to help us choose a movie for next week.
All right.
So I'm going to say, do you want to do a movie from the 80s, a movie from the 90s, or a movie that came out this year? And that's how we'll choose.
This year.
Because I got some different options here.
Well,
80s, 90s, or this year?
Well, let's see. We just did a movie from the 90s.
That's true. Yeah.
And then Shadow Warriors was from the 80s, right?
No, Shadow Warriors was from the 2000s.
Oh, 2000s.
It was a made-for-cable movie.
Glimmer Man was from the 90s.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
300 was from
2000. Mid-2000s.
Yeah. Let's go with a new one.
Okay.
This year.
Well, then we're going to do The Beekeeper, the Jason Statham.
Fuck yeah.
Yes. That'll be next week's episode.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. All right. I look forward to that.
Do the spiel.
All right. You can find us on Instagram at Action Action Podcast. Our list lives on Letterboxd at Action Action. And we also have a Patreon at Action Action Podcast on Patreon. And thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week for Beekeeper.
Bob's Got Science.